Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Sarah Akwesombe, who is a design influence and a creative entrepreneur, and we met on Instagram.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. Doesn't everyone meet on Instagram nowadays?
It's definitely where all the cool kids meet. Although I've just searched for an email from you in my inbox and found that we had loads of other people in common. And I was like, oh, there's tons of emails that I've been CC'd on that you were also included on. We have a whole load of projects that I have. But anywho, we can talk about that when we're not being recorded.
It's true, yes. Probably not so interesting for anyone else listening.
Because it's only because it's a really small world. What does adulting mean to you?
I would say to me, adulting is like having your shit together. I think there was like a turning point in my life that I would say I really started feeling like an adult. And it was probably when I got to about 26, 27 and I was like, you know, working and saving money and then I got pregnant and, you know, I mean, having kids definitely forces you to grow up. So yeah, just kind of being, feeling like you're on top of things, feeling like you're in control. I guess mine is probably quite the typical things that society expects, you know, like sadly.
Why is that sadly?
Because most of the time I'm very like against the norm, but I think actually when it comes to like having my shit together, I'm like, no, I need to lead by example. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to, you know, approach this in the right way. I need to, yeah, I'm very into like leading by example.
So whose example do you follow?
That's a really good question. My husband, actually. Like, my husband is incredibly wise and he's incredibly like, you know, he'll always kind of think about things properly. Like, nothing gets by him. Like, no one can pull the wool over his eyes. No one's going to charm him into doing something. He'll always just go away from it and be like, nah, like, that's not going to work or that's not a good idea. And he just can sit, he has this foresight that I think is just like, I wish I had it. I get so caught up. You know, I meet people, I overpromise. Like, I'll be like, yeah, let's do this. Like, and he's just like, that's not a good idea. I'm like, yeah, I know.
And you guys work together now, yes. At least on in some areas, not in all of them.
How's we do that? In all areas, yeah.
In all areas now. Okay, cool. How has it always been like that? And how's it been?
Well, it's kind of weird because me and my husband actually met working at a bar together. Yes. So we met working in the same place. Then when I had my music career, which was how I kind of started out, he would DJ for me and we'd go on tour together. That was kind of our excuse as to why we should both be going. And yeah, now we work together on, you know, whether it's design projects or influencer stuff or the online business school that we've got, we work together in all aspects and we're completely different. We're very yin and yang. I'm very creative and risk taker and he's very logical and wise. So we're a good combination when we work together and then obviously when we clash, we're just the worst.
I love that. I feel like I have both of those inside my head. Mm. So I am both, you know, one of the things actually that makes me quite a new, unique coach is because I have both that yin and that yang, right? And so when people come to me and I'm sometimes like very just pull your shit together and get on with it, right? And like get up off the floor, have another go, very dad energy, right? Like very masculine, like you can do this, championing. Mm. And quite masculine or quite yang in that energy. And then there's other times where I'm like,
let's just go through all the options and look at the ideas and like which one feels really good, and like really much more going into the spiritual or the creative or the like infinite possibilities of something.
Yeah.
And I think both, for me, adulting is really like, is having your shit together, but it's also knowing, like, it's having your shit together so that you can play. It's having your shit together so that you can have fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So I also love it when people say that they're kind of one of the things that led to them being an adult or having their shit together is having kids. What do you think would have happened if you didn't have your, if you didn't become a parent or didn't become parents?
I don't know. That's such a hard question, isn't it? Because your life changes like so much, and then you can't ever imagine like what life was like without them. Like so, the other day I was lying in bed with Jason, like just in the morning, and Marley was playing in her room. And I said to him, do you remember when we just used to lie in bed all day on a Sunday? I think it was like a Sunday morning. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I literally can't even remember what that felt like. Yeah. I just remember that we used to do it. So, I honestly can't remember, but I think I wouldn't be as self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably what it is.
Mm. Yeah, they're our greatest teachers. I think, you know, between having a business, which is like the greatest personal development journey you can ever go on.
I say that to everyone and no one gets it. And I'm like, just wait.
Well, and I think between that and kids, right? Like, those are the two surefire ways of like either constantly feeling like a failure.
Yes.
Or really going in to the self-awareness piece, doing some of the work and like learning to be with who you are and like having patience and also having persistence and like, yeah, just not giving up.
Yeah. It's, having your own business is incredibly, like just what you said, it's the only thing I would say, even more so with kids, that will really make you examine every aspect of how you do things, every aspect of your insecurities or your vulnerabilities, and make you address them. Because if you don't address them, your business will not move forward. That's the end of it.
Yeah. And kids are the same in as much as they are amplified. Like, there is nothing quite like having all of those things that you just mentioned, like your insecurities and your worst habits and all the things you're not proud of, demonstrated in front of your very eyes.
Yes. When they do it back to you and you're like, oh my God, I can't even say anything because that's me.
Yeah. And at the same time, I feel like, you know, in those two sentences, you painted a the worst possible scenario or worst possible case for parenting and for business owning. At the same time, like, it's still pretty awesome. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here talking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the best.
What's the best thing that you've done in your business, or one of the best things that I guess, you know, having followed through, having taken risks and being courageous has given you?
The best thing I would say about like being in business, it was when I realized that I had suddenly switched the power from being with any clients that I would pick up. So obviously as an influencer, I do a lot of stuff with brands, and you're basically waiting for them to give you a call. It's kind of like being an actress or something. It's like you're waiting to get like the job, and it's very much like, even though they need you for their projects, it's still, they call the shots. And I think it was when I got to the point of being like, look, I've got this audience. How about I just start talking to them directly? How about I come up with products or I come up with services and I just talk to them about them and I can sell them to them myself? And then I was like, oh, this is a whole different ball game, because I'm in complete control of this. If I decide I want to take 6 months off and not sell anything, that's fine. I won't have any cash flow. But if I then decide, well, I want to make, we want to save up a deposit for a house, well, then I'm in control of what things I put out into my audience that could then make that a possibility, not having to sit and wait for a phone call from a client. And that's basically the best thing that's ever happened to me in life, because knowing that you have that kind of, I guess it is influence at the end of the day, and I know like people hate the word influencer and all that, but I'm like, that is what it is. is incredibly like empowering, because it's basically freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, my belief is that you don't need to be like, everybody's an influencer in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there might be a particular platform, and there might be, you know, a space that you own, but everyone has influence in their own world, and we get to affect and choose what we give our intention and our attention, right? Because what we give our intention and our attention to is what grows, and it's what we end up having more of. Would you agree?
Yeah, completely. I was on a panel last night, and that whole talk of like hard work kept coming up, and like someone had said like, oh, how do you get a pay rise, or how do you get a promotion? And everyone was like, hard work, hard work. And I was like, I don't agree. Like, I don't think everything is about hard work. I think everything is about application. Like, how applied are you to this thing? And that doesn't necessarily have to be shown through hard graft, but it's that you're present and you've applied yourself to this thing. Like, I'm incredibly passionate about female entrepreneurship. And so I'm so massively like applied to that subject, and women talking more about money and making money and all that stuff. But that doesn't mean I'm going to sit here every day and get up at 6 a.m. and like grind myself into the ground. Like, that's not my vibe. I'm not Gary Vee. Like, although I swear as much as him, and I'm just as no bullshit, I do not go for that like way of life.
Me neither. I kind of, again, it comes back to that yin yang thing. So some people definitely need to pull their finger out, right?
Oh, for sure.
You work a little harder and stop feeling like the world, like they're entitled to everything, right? Some people need to move their energy a little bit, hustle a little harder, show up. Other people, it's like, if the secret to money was working hard, there'd be a lot more rich people and a lot less stressed people in
the world. I mean, go and look at someone who's like bloody scrubbing toilets in like a shopping center or something. You can't tell me they're not working hard. That doesn't mean they're going to be rich and like have the life they want.
No. So. Yeah. I would really, 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 I'm going to keep saying it, but love to change that belief pattern.
Yes.
Love to change it, because you know what? At some point, machine learning and machine, you know, all the kind of new innovations that are coming through, we're going to take over so much of the manual stuff. And then we'll reach a point eventually where not everyone has to work, or there genuinely aren't enough jobs for everybody.
Yeah.
And then we still need to be able to survive and function. We still need to be in a place. And so shifting to this place of value over time is not just sensible, and not just like this soundbite that there's a couple of us, you know, doing well going, oh yeah, provide value. It isn't like some greeting cards nice thing to say. I genuinely believe that the more value you can add, the more wealthy you can become.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think there's so many factors, isn't it, that go into like being worthy. And I guess like traditional hard work is part of it, maybe, especially like at the beginning, but it's definitely not the whole picture. It's potentially like a short period of time. And I think actually when you start realizing that, like, yeah, as you said, it's about how much value you're giving people, how much what you're talking about resonates with people, whether it solves an issue or solves a problem that they have and actually like changes their life like on a daily basis. And that doesn't need to be like super deep. That could just be like a really satisfying bottle of water. Like, it doesn't, you know, it could be a product, it could be a piece of clothing, it could be anything. But I just think we have so been conditioned with this whole like 9 to 5, work hard. And, you know, especially with the whole like boom in like tech city, you know, like Silicon Valley, and like I slept on my friend's couch until this. I'm like, nah, I've got a family. Like, I'm not making anyone sleep on a couch. Like, I'm gonna make money from the start.
I love that. It's so true. Yeah, it's so true. And I think that there's so many voices out there, and I think at the beginning it might have been there might have very well have been the only way to navigate out of certain situations. And for those people, it wasn't that they had to sleep on people's couches, and that isn't like how you do it, you know. It isn't. It was people who were suddenly became very driven when they weren't before, right? Like, you talked about having kids giving you a reason to adult the fuck up. For some people, being in a down and out position, actually having nothing and needing to sleep on their phone.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah.
Is what does that for them.
There's a difference between like when that happens because it's part of your story and it's like a necessity, and when you kind of get these like bros that are like, that's how you make it. You know, you can't call yourself a CEO or a founder unless you've gone through like this made up hardship. I'm kind of like, and I just think also like as women, that's like you spoke earlier about like feminine and masculine energy. And I think like the whole entrepreneurial scene is surrounded by like very masculine energy. And it's only like recently, like we have women coaches and women entrepreneurs talking about, well, actually I want a business that, you know, also fits into my lifestyle and I still get to be a woman. And if I want to go and have a facial at 2 p.m., that doesn't mean I'm a shit boss. Like, that means I'm actually like looking after myself so that I can be a good boss for you. Yeah, and I think, you know, moving into the whole self-care thing, I think, like you said, it's so, there's some people that, yeah, can't self-motivate and can't get off their ass and do stuff. And I see that a lot paraded around as self-care. Like, oh, I don't feel like it today. Well, I need a self-care day. I'm like, no, we need to be able to distinguish ourselves and be quite hard on ourselves about when things are self-care and when things are self-indulgence. And I don't think there's enough of a like hard line being taken on that and people really analysing their own behaviour and going, hang on a second, am I someone who's going to call self-care like every week or every other day? Then it's not
so interesting to me because it's so alien to me because I come from such the other end, right? Which is so many of my clients are in a place where they're like, they just would never do that. They work themselves to the bone. And like what we're talking about again is this spectrum, right? In everything. Yes. And so much of it all is about learning to listen, for me at least, to listen to ourselves and have the confidence to speak up for ourselves, take care of ourselves, like have that real self-love, not the kind of bubble bath and manicure self-love, but the actual self-love that is got a really strong no and also has a really strong yes, right? So you, if you make arrangements, you don't follow through because you feel like you have to, but if you are exhausted or you've got something else like that is going to use your energy and time, just being really clear and communicating really well and saying, actually this has come up and it's not going to work for me. And I know that for me, that made me feel like I was I had this fear that I was going to be flaky, that I wasn't going to be reliable. And it's, I guess it's only now where I've got the level of success that I have and I literally can't be everywhere all the time. And if my team doesn't do stuff, like there's only so many hours in a day that I'm willing to work, right? The rest of it has to be for my friends, for my family, for myself, for, you know, all of those things. And it does become about balance, but getting those right ratios, you know, it isn't like a split.
And I think just analysing the kind of person that you are and what your traits are and stuff. And if you're someone who's like really procrastinates and gives up on things quickly and stuff, then you might need to examine when you're calling self-care. But actually, if you're someone, like you said, like most of the women that you work with, and definitely what I'm like, I'm very bad at self-care. Like I don't do it enough. So I think, again, it's just kind of self-awareness is just such a powerful tool, like to be able to take yourself away from yourself and look at yourself and go, well, hang on, what am I doing here? Like, I think that's really, you know, we can all be more self-aware for sure.
Absolutely. And I think that's why, I mean, it's why I have a career, which is awesome. Mm. But it's also, you know, I've spent the last 15 years of my life really like self-analyzing, going deep, you know, layers and layers and layers and layers. And I people who listen regularly will have heard me bring this up before, but I have a real bugbear with people who feel like there's a point at which they'll be done.
No, like, never.
I hate to break it to you.
Never.
But there just, you know, there just is no such thing. You don't reach a point where you're one day like, oh yeah, I'm done. I've helped enough people. I'm definitely rich enough.
I'm enlightened.
Yes. Can you imagine? What would happen if we all turned around and were like, yeah, I'm done?
Yeah, I mean, but it's funny, isn't it? Because when you're on that path of self-awareness, personal development, and you have a mind that is comes down to that cheesy saying, doesn't it? A growth mindset, basically. Yes. When you have that, you forget how rare that is. And I meet so many people day to day, or even friends of mine or whatever, and they'll talk about their situations, and I'm kind of like, but neither, you know, maybe they're squabbling over something, and I'm like, neither of you are working on yourselves, and neither of you are looking at why this has even happened. You just are both, as you said, like, done. And I'm like, of course you're going to, like, clash, because you're both so finished in what you think is your person that, like, I don't know, there's no, like, bending, there's no growth. It's just a strange, I don't know, you forget how privileged we are to, like, you know, when they always say, like, write down your grateful things, like your gratitude diary and stuff.
Yeah.
I always just write, like, I'm so grateful that, like, I have the mind that I do. Not in the sense of, like, I'm so clever, but in the sense that I know all this. Like, I know I'm not perfect. I know that I have so much work to do. I know that I'm willing to, like, analyze my own behavior and, like, call myself out when I've done something out of order or whatever. Yeah. And, like, I do feel like that's quite a privileged position, because so many people just aren't there, you know?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't have it so much anymore, because I'm so surrounded by such awesome people all of the time. But I remember being in a place where I was like, sometimes it must be just really nice to be stupid, or nice just to have a very quiet, uninquiring mind that could just, you know, stop and be satisfied with this bit, like, being done and having had enough. And and again, you know, we could go into a whole other tangent around, like, meditation and, you know, other parts of self-care that do require us just turning off those ever inquiring minds, because sometimes they're not, they, like, they need a rest too. The software needs to get turned off.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. I'm listening to your words going, yes, Sarah, you need to stop.
Oh, we've whizzed through our time together. I've loved chatting with you. I feel like we've gone around in, like, done a little bit in every area.
Oh, good.
If people want to find out more about you or get involved, hear about Noble School, all of those things, where's the best place for them to come find you?
I would say probably my Instagram, just because it's kind of like the hub of most things that I do, and you can pretty much find out about, you know, whatever I've got going on. I'll be talking about it there, which is just my name, @SarahAquazombie. You'll probably have to write it in the show notes or whatever, so that people
of course, everything's always in the show notes, people will be able
so
to
can spell it. But yeah, come and find me there and just, like, start a conversation with me. I love having conversations with people, like, in the DMs. Like, it's kind of what I do all day, basically. So yeah, come and say hi.
Yeah, awesome. I also said that we're doing I'm an Adult But. Have you got one for us?
What was it? I'm an Adult But.
Mm.
Probably I'm an adult, but I definitely, when I'm really into working and I just don't want to get up, I will literally sit on, like, needing to pee for about 5 hours and just sit here wriggling in my chair, because I'm like, I just don't want to get up and break the flow of what I'm doing. And I mean, I tell my daughter all the time, I'm like, go to the toilet, what are you doing? And yet I'm the worst. I'm like, that's probably the most childish thing that I do. That, and obviously, like, loads of stupid, you know, pulling faces and doing impersonations and ridiculous things, but I won't, none of you guys will get the joy of seeing that.
Well, they will if they come find you on Instagram.
Yeah, probably. I say that and then I'm like, yeah, on Instagram the other day I was, like, belting it out to Britney Spears or something, so, you know, there's always something going on.
Awesome. What have I got for us? I am an adult, but this time of year is my favourite, because they sell my clothes, and also there's skulls and Halloween stuff everywhere. So I came home from the shops today with 7 skulls, and the other day I went into town to get one thing and came back with a bag full of leopard print, because apparently it's leopard print season. Yeah.
No, it's snakeskin and cow print is apparently what is in. I mean,
I haven't seen either. I've seen a lot of leopard print, but maybe I've just eyes that just look
now. Now all you're going to see everywhere is snake print and cow print. I mean, can you imagine cow print, but actually people wearing it, and it does look kind of cool. So
I'm not sure, it feels a bit 90s for me.
Next time you'll be on your podcast or with a nice moo print t-shirt or something.
If I wear one, I'll tag you on Instagram.
Okay, please do, thanks.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.